Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to read two verses here. Verse number one, Genesis 37, verse one. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelled in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." So let's pray together. We'll ask God's blessing on our study tonight, and we'll begin looking at the life of Joseph. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us, and we're grateful for your word and its revelation of who you are and who we are. We're grateful, Lord, for your people who have gathered together on the middle of the week to hear what you have to say. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use this study in my life and the life of your people, that you would encourage us. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to learn from Joseph's life, that we may be nearer and closer to you. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon our Bible study tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a blessing to look at the life of Joseph and really to get a spiritual outlook of our life, to understand God's pathway. That's really the purpose of it, is to know that God is greater in his pathway. And Joseph is a great illustration of that. We want to look at the specifics of Joseph's life and how he overcame. And we want to learn principles. This is the key, to learn principles for our life and to have that confidence to know that God is directing our pathway in our life as well. And so as we go through this study, I really encourage you, you'll notice on the notes there, I have the outline, but I put a whole bunch of blanks. That's not to draw pictures of me. That's so that you can write some pictures. That's so that you can draw pictures of you. No? That's so that you can write principles for your life and some things that God is teaching you. Because that's really what it comes down to, is how you can learn from the Bible and how you can grow as a Christian. And so we're going to look at this text together and notice what the Bible has to say. So first of all, I want us to just jump right into this study. And I want us to notice, number one, Joseph's principles. Joseph's principles. Now, as we read this passage of Scripture, we are reminded that Jacob, that would be Joseph's father, Jacob, his home was a divided home. It was a troublesome home. And yet Joseph was a young man. He was 17 years old. Now, Alan is going to turn 17 on May 2nd. So, I mean, we really don't know how old or how far along in the 17th year, but, I mean, you want to know what Joseph looked like or how, I don't know how tall he was, but I mean, Alan is an illustration of that. Alan, do you want to come on up? You know, I just joking. Joseph was 17 years old, and he was faithful. You know, young people, let me say this: the Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth." You know, you look in the Bible, there were some young people that did some wonderful things for God. I think of Daniel. I think of David. David was a young man when he went against Goliath. Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example. Be faithful. Love the word of God and live the word of God. And I'll tell you this, in our society, you know, in your workplace, if you're a hard worker, you work not to please men, but to please God, and you are honest, you will shine bright in this society. And Joseph was that type of young man. He was a faithful individual. He worked hard. And even in a difficult family home life, Joseph was faithful to God. Now, I want to just bring this into perspective, and I don't know how far along we're going to get into this study. We have 4 weeks to get through it. We'll see what happens. But understand where Joseph is, okay? One home and four different mothers, okay? There were 12 sons total in Joseph's family. I guess you could say that this was indeed a blended family, a blended home. And Joseph is an apprentice. He's working with the sons of Bilhah, that would be Dan and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah, which would be Gad and Asher. And he's learning how to be a shepherd. So he's an apprentice. And we find very early in Joseph's life why his stepbrothers hated him. Now, we see this in our text here in verse number 2. Because in verse number 2 of our text, we notice what the Bible says here. It says that they brought unto his father their evil report. And so we see right away in this passage of Scripture here that Joseph is coming to his father with what his stepbrothers are doing. Now, the word evil there in this passage of Scripture means iniquity. It means sin. Now, I don't know, and we don't know because the Bible doesn't say, we don't know what these men were doing to Jacob. Were they robbing him? Were they involved with other nations and doing that which was ungodly? We have no idea, but we do know this, the evil things that they were doing, Joseph thought that his father should know. And there's a lot of different perspectives, and I heard different preachers talk about it where they said, well, you know, he was a busybody, he was a telltale, or, you know, a teller of tales and all these things. But I don't think that Joseph did this in spite. I don't think he did this in revenge. I don't think he was trying to be better than them or a goody two-shoes or anything like that. I think he truly cared for his brothers. I think he truly cared about his father. And he was in the field to help his brothers and to work, not to spy on them. Because I heard a lot of different perspectives as well. Well, you know, his father sent him there as a spy to find out what was happening. I don't think that was the case at all. I think Joseph was genuinely concerned about his brothers and what they were doing and what maybe they were doing to Jacob. And we know from the Bible that sin left unchecked only increases. It only gets worse. Psalm 101, verse 7. A great passage of Scripture. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Integrity has always been hated by those who are ungodly. And we understand that. The Bible says, yea, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The reality is that our light reveals darkness. If we live for God, if we do what is right, then that's going to warrant a response. I saw this, I thought this was really good, and it really describes our society today. Someone says, first, and this is speaking of society, not as an individual or church or a Christian. First we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, then we promote evil. Then we celebrate evil, and then we persecute those who still call it evil. Isn't that good? Doesn't that describe our society today? First, we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, then we promote that evil, we celebrate that evil, and if you call it evil, then we're going to get you. And Joseph was a man of integrity. He had some principles in his life. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them," God says. And so Joseph, I guess we could say, as we learn from the story of Cain and Abel, I guess we could say that Joseph was his brother's keeper. And I think he was trying to help his brothers. I really do. Not hurt them, not offend them, but he was trying to help them. So let's, number two, let's look at Jacob for a moment. And in our text here, we notice Jacob's partiality. So the Bible says in verse number 3 of our text here, Genesis 37, "Now Israel," that's Jacob, "loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors," the famous coat of many colors, right? "And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." So, obviously, Jacob didn't learn from his upbringing the danger of a favorite, right? I mean, Genesis chapter 25 and verse 28, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob." I mean, there's trouble there. And it never works. And just because the Bible describes it and records it doesn't mean God was good with it. Understand that. Doesn't mean that God approved it. But the Bible reveals the heart of humanity. And people get that confused. They look at the Bible and they say, well, you know, you read the Bible, you see murder, you see hate, you see violence. What's going on? Well, God doesn't sugarcoat the heart of man. It lays out for us the direction and dangers of sin. And so we see that within Jacob's heart is this partiality. He loved Joseph more than all of his other sons. By the way, why did the father take his favorite son to the park? Because he wanted to play favorites. That's terrible. Joseph was the son of his favorite. Joseph was the son of his favorite wife, Rachel. Now, there's more to this story than just the text. We really have to dig in deeper to see what's Jacob's problem here. What's your deal, man? Why do you love Joseph more? Well, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 29, verse 30, "And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years." This partiality that Jacob had for Joseph really began with Leah and with Rachel. And there's really a troubling situation. Before we get into that and break it all down, I want to remind you this idea of partiality and how as Christians we are commanded in the Bible to treat everyone the same, right? And I mean, this comes to the church. The Bible makes it clear. It says that we are to do nothing by partiality. James makes the statement, if a rich man comes in, you don't treat him differently. As a poor man comes in, you don't treat him differently. Listen, both individuals need the gospel. Both need God. They need to hear the word of God. And so the Bible teaches us that we're to treat them the same. And this is the truth for the church. It's also the truth in our home. And I don't think that Jacob didn't love his other sons. There was just that connection that Jacob had with Joseph because of the past, because of the circumstances of his life. And so we see that in the passage of Scripture. So what does Jacob do? He gives Joseph a coat. And every child's book on Bible stories is going to have Joseph in the coat of many colors. It's the famous coat of many colors. Now, the only other place in the Bible, interesting enough, the only other place in the Bible that mentions a coat of many colors is found in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 18. And it's actually describing the garment of a king's daughter. And the Bible says this, "And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her." And so, just to clarify and understand this, this coat of many colors was a garment that was designed for a rich ruler. This was not something that a shepherd would wear. You say, what is the significance of this? Understand this. Jacob didn't give Joseph that coat because of his fashion taste. He gave him the coat because Joseph would be Jacob's heir. That's why he gave him the coat. Now, as we study the Bible, we understand the first four firstborn sons. They had some issues. Reuben, the firstborn status, was stained with his sin with Bilhah in Genesis chapter 35, verse 22. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. Simeon was involved in the slaughter of the men of Shechem. The first four sons have Leah as a mother. Jacob didn't want to marry Leah. Jacob, Laban tricked him. You know the story. And so in the heart of Jacob, he had decided that the firstborn was Joseph. That was Rachel's firstborn. That's my firstborn. And so this is a soap opera. And the brothers hated Joseph for this. We understand what happens when an individual loses their birthright. I mean, anger occurs, and they're angry. Jacob's view of Joseph caused Joseph's brothers to hate him. And the Bible makes it very clear that they despised him. The 17-year-old, they hated him. In fact, just to look at him made them sick. The Bible says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." Hate causes more sin. It causes strife. It causes division. John says this, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now." In other words, they were never a Christian. Jesus said that hate in the heart is morally comparable to murder. That's what Jesus said. It's a conquering emotion. And it leads us further than we'd ever want to go. And we see this in this passage of Scripture. So thirdly, let's consider this. Joseph's purpose. So look what the Bible says in verse number 5. "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." If you think that Joseph's brothers hated him a lot, well, they hated him even more now. He dreamed a dream. What would be in a dream that would cause this much hate in their heart? Well, Joseph said in verse number 6, "I want to tell you my dream." Might not have been a good idea. And so he comes to his brothers. In verse 6, he tells them the dream. "For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, the sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us?" Now they knew exactly what the dream meant. They knew exactly what he was saying. They're saying to him, "Are you telling me that we're going to bow down to you? That you're going to reign over us?" And in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And his brethren say unto him, Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? Joseph, what are you talking about? Are you telling us that we're going to bow down to you? In verse number 9, he says, and he dreamed another dream, and he told his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made oblations to me. And he told it unto his father and his brethren, and now his father rebukes him. And he said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? So, I mean, they knew what he was talking about here. Didn't need an interpretation. They knew what the dream meant. And they knew what God was saying. These dreams, by the way, were divinely inspired. They were prophetic. And we know that because we have the full prophecy in our hand. This wasn't Joseph, by the way, as a 17-year-old teenager. It wasn't Joseph being immature. It was God's will for his life. And by the way, we get God's will for our life from the Bible. God's will is found in his word. It's God's spirit that guides us. And I do want to note that, you know, as we think of in the Old Testament, dreams were often used. And even in the story of Joseph, we see dream after dream, right? Even in the end of the story, we see him interpreting dreams. God is using dreams in his life. But we understand that dreams in the New Testament does not reveal or give new revelation. We have the complete revealed word of God for that. And I'll say this too, even in the Old Testament, there is this warning about dreams that they could be derived from selfishness or even demonic. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23, verse 25, it says, and I've heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name. This is Jeremiah 23, verse 25, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the shaft to the wheat, saith the Lord. I'm glad we have his word today, the full revelation of God. And we can know what God, what his will is for our life. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. God's will for us is to grow. And Joseph had received this revelation. He understood what God's will for his life. This was prophetic. And when we look at the life of Joseph and we think about his faith and trusting God in prison and trusting God with the events of Potiphar's wife, you say, well, Joseph was in the dark. No, not really. He had this revelation that God was in control. He had this revelation that God had revealed his will to him, and somehow he was going to reign. Somehow God was going to bring him out of that miry pit, that God was going to bring him to the top. And in the moments in a prison cell when he couldn't see the hand of God and he didn't understand what was going on, he trusted the revelation of God that God always keeps his word. And friend, listen, I'm glad today in our life, no matter if you're a 17-year-old boy or you're an 80-year-old man or woman, that we are never in the dark, that we have God's word that guides us. And even in the times of life where we say, God, can you hear me? God, are you really with me? And we can't see the hand of God. We can always trust the heart of God to know he's in control. And we can look at verses like Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And Joseph had purpose in his life. God spoke to him. This was not something that he dreamed up. This was not something in his imagination. This was not something that he had because he ate pizza too late the night before. No, he understood this was of God. God's in control of my life. And so Joseph told his family the dreams. And what happens in the heart of his brethren is that hate turned to envy. The Bible says in verse 11, his brethren envied him. And his father observed the saying. His brothers envied him. His brothers envied him. His father rebuked him in verse 10. And then verse 11, Jacob observed the saying. The thought thereof observed means to retain it mentally. He began to think and to concentrate about what was said. This is of God. This is of God. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 35, the Bible says this, and let them gather. This is when farther down the line, when Joseph is giving instructions to Pharaoh, he said, and let them gather all the foods of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. The same Hebrew word there is used to retain it, to keep it. And this is what Jacob is doing in his mind. He's retaining that. He's observing that. He's thinking about what God is doing in this young man's life. But his brothers, they envied him. They hated him. And so he knows number four, write this down, his brother's plot. So verse 13, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send unto them. And he said to him, here am I. Now, this is just an incredible passage of Scripture because you can't say that Jacob wasn't concerned about his sons because he was concerned. He's going to send Joseph to see how they're doing. He's going to send Joseph to see if they're okay. And so he says to Joseph, go and see to make sure if your brothers are okay. And I love the attitude of this 17-year-old boy. He said, here am I. Here am I. Verse 14, look what the Bible says this. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now, this journey from Hebron to Shechem would be at least 3 days of traveling for Joseph. And so he traveled from Hebron, and he traveled to Shechem, 3 days' journey, and he arrives to Shechem, and guess what? Brothers are not there. And so he's wandering in the fields. And this unnamed individual in the passage says, hey, who are you looking for? I'm looking for my brothers. Oh, they're that way. If you buy into the idea of typologies in the Bible, then this passage of Scripture, according to Bible scholars, is rich in typology. Many theologians believe that Joseph is a type of Christ or a picture of Christ. And this passage of Scripture here in the text that I read is where many of them will take that thought or that idea of the ministry of Jesus as Jesus obeyed his Father and the Father sent his Son to a wayward people. And the people rejected the message of Jesus. And they tried to put him to death, or they put him to death. And the picture, the typology here is of Joseph who obeys his father. And he goes to a wayward people, wayward sons, with a message from the father. But they would not listen. They would not hear. And so the Bible says in verse 15, and a certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And Joseph is wandering here in the field, and verse 16 says, And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Hebron means fellowship. Shechem means strength. Dothan means two wells. I don't know about you, but when I read this passage of Scripture and I think from Hebron, 50 miles journey to Shechem, and they're not even in Shechem, they're in Dothan. I mean, I'm not trying to read into the Bible, but I just feel these guys are up to no good. They're trouble. And they really want to get away from Joseph. They don't want to be close to their father. They don't want to be close to this situation. And so the Bible says, here comes Joseph to Dothan. He sees his brothers. They're watching the sheep. And the Bible says in verse 18, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They just saw him walking, and as soon as they saw his face, that anger started to boil up inside them, and they started to conspire. They started to plot. I'm going to kill him. Let's kill him. They talk of conspiring. Their attitude is really found in verse 19 that really just helps us to understand here. They said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Hey guys, look, here comes the dreamer. You know the guy who says that we're going to bow down to him, daddy's little boy, the dreamer. They hated him before, but now they hated him more because of the dream. That they would actually bow down to Joseph, this 17-year-old runt. Who does he think he is? He already stole away the affection of our father, took away the heir. He thinks he's so great. He's a dreamer. Look what the Bible says in verse 20. They're all conspiring. Come now, therefore. Guys, let's come on. Let's get together here. Let's be unified. Not in good, not in the gospel, but in sin. Let's be unified together and let's kill them. Let's slay them. Come on, guys, let's kill our brother and let's cast him into a pit. We'll go home and tell our father that some wild beast killed him, and then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Then we don't have to worry about, just in case he's telling the truth, just in case there's a small amount of chance that we're actually going to bow down to him. Hey, listen, we can take care of this. Let's kill him, and his dreams are done. That was their attitude. This dreamer who conspire against him. And you can conspire against a man, but you can't conspire against God. Because they didn't understand this. This wasn't Joseph's plan. This was God's plan. God had a purpose in it all. And this was the will of God for Joseph's life. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. And next week we'll continue in Joseph's life as we notice what happens next and where it brings this 17-year-old young man. All right, let's take our prayer bulletins tonight, and we're going to spend a season in prayer tonight.